This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We welcome back Dr. John Alexander to the Paracast this week. And we've got a lot of things to catch up with him on. It's been a couple of years since he's been on the show. But before that, I wanted to throw some pop culture thing in here because we had mentioned the Project Blue Book TV show from History Channel. That's the one that is very, very, very loosely, did I say loosely, extremely loosely based on the life of Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Now, John, have you seen the show at all?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, then you basically just, you're right in the right vibe there, my friend. But yes, unfortunate. And I wanted, before I give you my reaction, I finally watched one episode. And how did we get this? It's because the cable TV provider we have, Cox, also is now giving us free subscriptions to NBC Peacock Network, which includes History Channel, which includes that show. So I saw the first pilot episode. Before we go on, Randall, have you seen the show?
No, I don't get those channels, and I know you can probably maybe figure out a way to sort of get them like as a free trial or something, but I just can't be bothered.
Okay, John, what was your reaction?
Well, when you said loosely based on, that's very generous. There was a place called Roswell, and there was a guy called Alan Hynek, and any resemblance to everything after that stops. I mean, you know, just ridiculous.
Well, I had met up with Dr. Hynek like 3-4 times in the late 70s, and I interviewed him and I talked to him. And the guy I knew, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, is not the guy in this TV show. It's not that the looks aren't quite there. It is the demeanor, it is the personality, it is the voice. Nothing resembled the real person. And I think if they're going to use the guy's name, and a very rough approximation, very rough, of his likeness, the actor would at least try to convey some of the feel of the real guy. Of course, they want to make him an action hero.
Well, they start off with the captain that flies around with him, you know, and puts Hynek in a plane, and they go out and crash together. I mean, just, you just want to scream when you, you know anything about it. It's so ridiculous.
You talk about the first episode where they are investigating a UFO sighting, and they agree to try to duplicate the circumstances, so they go up in a fighter plane, which then crashes, and you think, wait a minute, what is this? It's like a poor man's sex files.
Well, if you came in the crash, particularly in those days, you didn't walk away from that. You know, like I say, it just, and the whole the Russian thing and the wife, you know, the whole espionage and Mimi getting involved and, you know, international conspiracies, just crazy.
I would think here it might be a slightly credible TV show if the person was Dr. John Smith, excuse me, we don't want to use the name John, Dr. Dean Smith, some person who might loosely have been based on Dr. Hynek without using the name. And then maybe it would have been a better show. But as soon as you bring Dr. Hynek into it, you're like on another planet.
Well, we got to remember that the Roswell and Hynek, they were using to sell the show. So it had nothing to do with reality.
Right, so you guys are both saying that this is highly fictionalized, docu-fiction at best.
Not even docu-fiction, science fiction, period science fiction.
With a few names thrown in that we'd recognize so that we sort of, so that it gives it an air.
Certainly not serious.
Oh, well, I mean, Salat, maybe if you don't view it as being serious, it can still be enjoyable. I mean, you know, a lot of us, we know more about the reality of the situation, but that doesn't mean we can't set aside our beliefs, you know.
But the whole premise, you got a captain relating directly to four-star generals, you know, when they go in there, I mean, give me a break. He wouldn't get coffee for four-star generals. It's just, like I said, if it had some semblance or reasonable resemblance to, you know, reality, but when they blow this stuff out, it just, like I say, it makes you want to pull your hair out. And the problem is, now that we live in a post-truth era, people believe this stuff.
You see, that's what bothers me, too. People have heard of Dr. J. Allen Hynek, maybe only the name, and they see this show and say, hey, is that what the guy was like? And it's not even like, for example, what was it? Ripped from the headlines, Law & Order SVU, the Dick Wolf TV shows. There you know the episode is suggested by possibly a real event. Here, even the real events are barely included.
Right. Well, if we were talking about Ruppelt there, who was he was the Blue Book guy, he got set up through Major General Cabell, who ordered ATIC at the time to prepare a review, and then he gave it to Lieutenant Colonel Rosengarten. And so that's how far up the chain of the command went, and it was Rosengarten that offered Ruppelt the assignment for Blue Book originally.
I'm not that much up on the folklore, but I do know how the system works.
Right, yeah.
That ain't it.
Yeah, no, it sounds like, yeah, so, you know, so you're saying, oh, yeah, it's just like, you know, these people will go straight to the big guns at the top and, or the big brass at the top, and, yeah, it does sound very highly sensationalized.
Let me ask you a question, John. Certainly you would know this, knowing the military hierarchy, et cetera. When they do a TV show or a movie depicting the military activities, isn't it standard form to have a consultant on set to advise as the proper procedure? They certainly do this with police procedurals. Doesn't mean they necessarily follow it 100%, but there has to be some basic resemblance, isn't there?
No. No, particularly when you say basic resemblance. Do they have to? No. Do they do it on occasion? Yes. Do they listen to them generally? No. You see, theirs are so basic that, you know that any technical advisor would, catch on to it and be screaming. But, the History Channel, I mean, it might as well parallel Comedy Central.
Yeah, but I thought that Comedy Central at least had some reality in its satire.
Well, I've just done a couple for them, but Jesus, you just...
This is kind of a big mystery for a lot of us out here in the public, and we're really glad to have you on the show so that you can maybe help explain some of this stuff for us and what really happens. I was watching a video that you made not too long ago for a group that is interested in all this stuff. And so you were saying at the end there was a question about these special access programs, and you were saying at the end there that you disagree with the whole concept of it and that people just really don't understand what happens in the military and how these programs are created. So how do they get created?
That's true.
Before we have the answer, I'm going to want to do our break. Dr. John Alexander joining us with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
With a MechTech carbine conversion unit, you can turn an XD Family Glock or 1911 handgun into a carbine rifle in seconds and have it shipped right to your door, no FFL required. Now, MechTech is excited to announce our pistol carbine conversion unit. More compact with a 12-inch barrel and an arm brace, proving once again that MechTech is the world's most versatile handgun accessory. For a limited time, go to handgunconversions.com. That's handgunconversions.com and use coupon code RADIO to receive $35 off any carbine purchase.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So Randall asks John a question, I guess, about how these programs are set up. Would you explain, please?
Well, there's a number of different ways, and I think I've talked about the parallels between what I did in the UFOs and what Lou Elizondo did And I say he was more successful than I was, and that he was able to actually get funded. But one of the things in this area is that most of them start as personality dependent, meaning some individual decides that they want to explore these areas. Now, as I understand, in Lou's case, there was at least a rear admiral who had seen the tapes and was willing to, you know, explore and push the limit. What happened in my case, I just happened to be in a position where I had a lot of flexibility, access to very high-tech stuff, the right clearances, and know the right people. And just, you know, I just initiated it and was able to do that for a few years. Now, it's very different from, let's talk about reviewing as a kind of a classic example, because that is one in which they have what we call a program of record, meaning it was fully acknowledged, it was funded, it was actually in the budget, albeit, you know, classified. But again, the starting of that was personality dependent. You had some people, Skip Atwater was one who went forward and was able to convince a couple of major generals, Ed Thompson and Bert Stubblebine, to, you know, start the program. And then they moved forward very slowly. Now, everybody thinks, wow, isn't that neat? I'd really like to be involved and blah, blah, blah. Let me give you, I will give you a close quote from Joel McMonigal, who many of you know, remote viewer 001, and explaining that, and he said, yeah, it was like going to or having a knife fight in a blank phone booth every day. Far from the neat fun and games that everybody seems to attribute it to it.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of competition for funding in the military, and so anything that is deemed to be kind of wasteful is just looked over, is just passed over.
Well, there are lists of things. There are certain things you can do. There's things called funding thresholds, okay? They have something called the color of money. So when you don't get like green dollars. When you say the color of money, that means there are certain programs and there's very specific restrictions as to how money in that particular program can be used. For instance, the P6 account, or program 6 was research and development, P2 was intelligence. And intelligence, there were certain things you can do. You get pretty close to looking like R&D. Unless you get too big. And if you get too big, then several things happen. One, you get more oversight, and two, people start looking at your money. Because contrary to popular belief, these programs are not usually fenced in, meaning the money is vulnerable. Anybody who can see it says, well, I'll give you a specific example, and I'm pretty sure this happened with the HF program. Is they had listed it as advanced threats. Euphemistically sounds good, but what happened was, I understand it, some people in the Air Force looked out there and said, oh, we do advanced aerial threats. I want that money. And then you've got to go in, and there is oversight, even in the black world, and be able to justify why you need the money more than the intruder needs the money.
Interesting. So when you were saying that you don't really agree with the whole idea of special access programs, it's not that
I agree with it. Wait.
Allow me to clarify here because I'll finish the question. And I think I'm on to you now here where it's not that you disagree or that you think there isn't any. It's that it's the way that they're set up is very different from what people commonly think they are.
That's true.
Right.
And there is oversight in most areas, and as you get to, as I said, higher and higher levels, then you have to get into reprogramming authority, meaning more oversight, and as you get to higher levels, more people can see the money. the external, you know, outside world doesn't see it, but the people who are interested in money.
Internal competition.
I was going to say one of my favorite conundrums was in the Pentagon, people saying, I'm going to go find the money. Like there's a pot of gold under a rainbow or something like that that you're going to find the money. The reality, what you're saying is, I'm going to go look for programs where I think I can steal the money. You know, who's not spending fast enough? And you have people in the comptroller's office who could care less, frankly, about how programs were progressing, but they're more interested in what's your burn rate, meaning how are you spending money at an appropriate level, and if you're saving money because you know you're going to have an expense later, that's vulnerable because they look for, you know, what are the flows that have nothing to do with the product that's being developed.
So with this ATIP program, they did ask for a special access program classification. They wanted it to become that. There's a letter, I think it was Harry Reid wrote, asking for it. Now, I was looking into this, and apparently these special access programs are created under something called the APEX Special Access Control System. But I wasn't able to find out a lot about that. Can you tell us anything about that?
No, that's something we encountered. Remember, I've been out 30 years.
Well, this was in the 70s.
No, it wasn't.
Well, according to the CIA documents, I was just on their site.
What was in the 70s?
This APEX Special Access Control System, Nixon was one of the ones that signed off on it. So I was just wondering if you knew anything about it.
Oh, no, at that level, never encountered it. I thought you were talking about the program that Lou ran and this past couple decades.
I wanted to let everyone know, by the way, that we originally had scheduled Bryce Zabel to be on this week, and he was not available. We hope to reschedule in the future. In the meantime, next week, Stan Gordon, UFO researcher from Pennsylvania, of course, he's a UFO and Bigfoot investigator from Pennsylvania, will be back, and he'll be telling us, first of all, that 2019 sightings were way, way up. He'll bring us up to date on the situation in his part of the universe. We are going to progress to some current stuff here in just a moment with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A crowd of supporters in Fayetteville, North Carolina is chanting, "Fill that seat." President Trump is defending his power to choose a new Supreme Court nominee after the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Friday.
I will be putting forth a nominee next week. It will be a woman.
But Democrats say Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell should put off a vote on the president's nominee, just as he did before the 2016 election. Judiciary Committee member Senator Richard Blumenthal.
I couldn't improve on what Mitch McConnell himself said after Justice Scalia's death, and I'm quoting, "The American people must have a voice in the selection of their next Supreme Court justice. Therefore, this vacancy should not be filled until we have a new president."
This is USA Radio News. Poland and Indonesia is reporting a record number of new daily COVID-19 cases. Indonesia reported 4,100 new cases, its highest daily rise in infections, according to the country's health ministry. There were also 112 new deaths reported in the southeastern Asian country. Poland has also reported a new daily record of 1,000 coronavirus cases, and in India, daily recoveries from the coronavirus surpassed the number of new infections. India has the second highest number of cases worldwide at 5.3 million and the third highest number of deaths at over 85,000. The United States has the most cases at over 6.7 million and the most deaths, which is just now reaching 200,000. Brazil has the third highest number of cases at over 4.4 million and the second highest number of deaths at 135,000. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
So, when we ended our previous segment, Dr. Alexander, you had mentioned that you did know, or you do know, Luis Elizondo from your military connection or since?
Well, no, I just appeared on their program. Unexplained, the second season, I was in one of the segments in that. Interestingly, we were here, well, they were here for 2 days and ended up with 2 minutes of airtime, but
that sounds typical.
Yep.
One of the things I'm curious about, and I want to kind of set right here, is that in your book, UFOs, that you have, which I've got, by the way. I purchased that at a local bookstore. Really good book. At the time that you were investigating, trying to find evidence within the system that UFO programs existed, you didn't have much luck at all. And then all of a sudden, this ATIP program comes out, which wasn't even technically, you know, what you might think of as being deep inside the system, and yet nobody really knew about it and caught a lot of people off guard. So, you know, how do we know that there weren't other programs that just got missed too?
Well, A, you don't. And people didn't know about mine. Unless you were in the system, you would never have known what I was doing at that time. Now you say right after, remember that we're talking 35 years difference. So there's quite a chunk of time that goes by and the environment changes. Several of the big things that happened that I think are important, one of the reasons they were successful, is that sensor systems improved. And as you know from the case of San Diego, they were able to get you know, direct physical confirmation on various sensors. We never had access to anything like that. And our premise going in was not kind of the start up the UFO. Our premise was somebody's doing that. I have a slide that I used. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark that said, hey, Roswell was real. They looked at it and says, I have no idea what to do or how to figure it out. Packed it away in Suitland or someplace like that. And they said, well, we'll come back in 50 years and start. Now, the people who participated with me, everybody knew the folklore. Of course, all had the tickets and everything. And everybody says, gee, I thought you were doing it, i.e. some other agencies. And we never found any indication that that was happening. Just to cover my ass a bit, I ought to mention that there are those who disagree with me. Some of whom I respect and think that there was somehow a deep black program that was paralleling and actually keeping track of anything. I happened to come down against, I think Roswell, for instance, was real. We started there. But I also think it was ours. I think it's a prosaic explanation for it. The people who disagree, and some of them who are working with the new board with DeLong, I think, no, there really was a physical parallel program.
Now, with the program with which Elizondo is connected, did they enter this knowing the history of previous UFO investigations, or did they just treat this as something new out of the blue with no referrals?
I'm not track the question. Did they quit now?
What I'm saying is here is, when you look at the program that Elizondo worked with, it's almost as if there was never a Project Blue Book or any other project on the part of the government to look into UFO, UAP, whatever you wish to call them. So the question I have is,
from zero.
Pardon me, they started from zero.
And they don't do a very good job of going out and saying, what have we done, what did others do, and whatnot.
I'm pretty sure that the presentation you were doing...
Let me address one key issue with what I just said, though.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead, John.
I think the reason for that is, contrary to what the UFO community thinks, this is a very low priority from a military perspective. I know they play up on the threat and all of that, but, you know, I haven't had any of our planes shot down. I know we can get into some of the ancient history, Matone, all of that, but there's certainly been no shooting war with ETE or any other thing like that to say it constitutes a real physical threat. And we've been at war for almost two decades now, and to say that any technology is evolved, you know, normally in wartime, technology moves forward, and the areas that we've seen advances in are like robotics and prosthetics and things, you know, micro this and that, but you don't see anything that suggests a significant leap in technological capability.
In the way of these craft that seem to be able to outperform all of our jets, you mean, that type of technology?
Yeah, that's a good example. If you look at the F-35, fundamental technology has been there for decades, but it's certainly not anti-gravity. Anything remotely associated to, like I said, the big technical leap.
Well, this is a really interesting question and a debate that comes up on our community forums here on the Paracast sometimes. People will say, oh, sure, they're our technology, but we're just not using them because we're holding it back in case we need to use it, kind of like an ace in, you know, an ace up your sleeve. I don't personally think that's
the part that we've been at war for three decades.
Exactly.
How do you pay for that? And, yeah.
So you're also of the belief that if we did have something like that, we'd know about it by now.
We certainly would have seen indications of some advanced technology. If not, it would be treasonous. When you consider the number of casualties that have taken place, and you're going to say we've had all these casualties and we had a capability to do something about it and chose not to. I mean, that's just...
There are precedents for that, though. I mean, you know, especially in the intelligence community. You know, when they were, say, if we go back to World War II and they were trying to break the German code, and they did, they found out how to break the German code with the Enigma machine. And they knew of attacks on civilian targets, including shipping lanes, but they couldn't tell the ship, you know. So I think there is precedence for keeping things secret, but I just think it's been too long.
That's very different. That's one of the key issues in the intel community, that if you have a capability and, you know, when do you respond? Because in responding, you might be tipping off to the adversary, you now know something, you know, that you're not supposed to know. You know what their technology is. There's times when you allowed attacks to go forward. But now remember, we're talking almost two decades, and, you know, potential threats and all of that. And I wanted to also look at it from an international perspective. The potentials there are shifting considerably. Remember the bad old days when this started? It was U.S. and former Soviet Union. Now, from a military perspective, China is far more probably advanced than Soviet Union. And if you're numbers and you watch what they're doing, have advanced capabilities.
Let me do a break here, and then we'll have you finish the answer. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. We've got more to come. Dr. John Alexander with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so we're talking about, I guess, whether secret military advancements would suddenly find their way into the technology used to fight war, and you were going on with some explanations, John. Go ahead.
Like I say, China is, from a military perspective, advancing quite rapidly. But what I want to say, and this is my personal view, and we're not going to fight China. Having said that, China is going to be a very aggressive adversary, and with the idiotic moves that are being made, they don't need much more help. You know, they're going from a pure economic expansion. If you look at the Belt and Road, for example, I've traveled extensively. We've been on all eight continents and whatnot, and particularly in both Africa and South America, you see the prevalence of China there. But they're playing a long game, unlike the American idiots that we always the future is about noon tomorrow, and we just do not play the game very well.
I have a question to ask you then, since we're talking about the fact that the program Elizondo worked with started almost from zero there. What about this new Pentagon task force on UAPs that's been announced? Is that picking up where the previous program left off, or are they starting that anew?
Well, I think the answer to that is yes, but again, I don't, personal opinion is it's not being taken seriously. Okay, Congress has stepped forward, and, you know, Marco Rubio came in and they put language in there and said you got to do a report. And they're going, as far as the Pentagon, just make this go away. You know, we'll meet the minimum requirements, but this is not, in my view, something that's going to be ever become a front burner issue.
The question I have there, though, is if they didn't do anything, if they didn't issue a report after 6 months, what is Senator Rubio and the Intelligence Committee going to do? And, of course, as we realize, after January, we may have the other party in charge. What will they do? Or will this just be something that is forgotten about?
Pretty much. That'd be my guess. There's no downside to not reporting, even for Congress, and in my view now, this is personal opinion, I think it's mildly curious. I think that, you know, with Chris Mellon, and them, done a good job in stirring up interest and getting some people involved. But when you put that onto the whole landscape of what's going on nationally and internationally, right, this just doesn't rise to probably not even a back burner issue.
So why bother?
Right. I think that would be their response. Why bother? Unless they get threatened and saying, if you don't tell us, something bad's going to happen. I can't see it being something that, Pentagon is going to get their hair on fire on.
Well, congressional oversight counts for practically nothing these days.
Well, but remember this, congressional oversight, as you know, Steve Bassett for years, and Steve's a friend, and but, you know, he's going to get congressional hearings. And what most people don't realize is most congressional hearings last about, 4 hours if you're lucky. And maybe a report comes out, something trivial, and then it gets filed, you know, in the archives. Congressional archives, and absolutely nothing. I had a slide at one time that I was using. I forget, I had picked an arbitrary date and looked, and a couple of years ago, but that day there was something like 14 congressional hearings in the day. And everybody thinks of these more like Watergate or, you know, Kennedy assassination or something like that. By and large, absolutely nothing happens.
So it's like they had, what, 8 hearings on Benghazi. So what?
Yeah. Well, that was politically motivated. That was a red herring from the start.
But even then, we had 8 hearings. And what did it do? Absolutely nothing.
Right.
So at this point, then, I think raises a bigger question here. So we got the task force, which people are saying, wow, gosh, golly, gee whiz, this is something special, something's going to happen. Tell me, from 2017, when we first heard about the program, the original program, and we have these UFO or UAP reports, a handful of those, what else has gone on? It's like mostly expectations.
Well, I am sure they are continuing to get reports. So internally, there's been some basically data collection. But as far as serious effort on it, I don't see that. Could be wrong, but I'd be really surprised.
You know, I would think here also that we talk here about people who, like Stephen Bassett, hope or expect the U.S. government can be persuaded to disclose what it may or may not know about UFOs. And you made a big point before about having advanced technology secret. There'd be a point where they'd have to use something, especially when you're fighting wars for 20 years. What does it stop Putin or some other government leader in some other country from saying, we've got the secret, here it is?
Well, A, nothing, and B, one of the things to remember is that this is a global phenomenon, that the U.S. is a piece of it. Now, I think it's far bigger. Remember, the last line of my book says, whatever this is, it is more complex than we could imagine. So that we would go someplace and, you know, we would see this emerge. You know, could somebody else have it? We do know that a number of countries have come forward with reports and talked about their interactions. That goes back to the Soviet days, several in South America, then many, many interactions. But that would be, it would be a big difference between, A, we had an interaction, and isn't it strange to we've had an interaction and we understand this and we have made a technological leap. Now, that'd be really scary if somebody was able to, you know, make that leap.
I think my own cognitive dissonance must be kicking in here, because I just find a lot of that thinking just too convenient. And in other words, let's take one of the examples. Again, this comes from a presentation you did, I think, for the Society for Scientific Exploration. And I've run across similar, well, evidence, I guess. It's not just simply claims that NORAD has literally tens of thousands of unidentified tracks in their system from over the years, over the decades.
Let me stop you there just as an example. Now, the knowledge here goes back quite a ways. The answer is, does NORAD track? The answer is yes. Does it get reported? Is it taken seriously? I'm going to suggest no. My last job was Director of Advanced System Concepts at the Laboratory Command. It just turns out that my boss was a major general who, as a brigadier, had been one of the ship commanders at, he was air defense artillery. So he came from the air defense community. And like I said, as a brigadier, had been, you know, a ship commander. I mean, you have a brigadier, you guys are rotating, so you have a number of them. Let me tell you, I did get a chance to brief him on the stuff we were doing, and eyes glazed over. This was definitely not and he wasn't doing that to mislead me or anything. This was just not on his scope. I think what happens from all the stories we've heard is that, yes, people do catch them on scope. They are recorded, but you learn relatively quickly it is not career-enhancing to report such things.
You know what's going to be not career-enhancing, not running these announcements? More to come with Dr. John Alexander, with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.